Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Detroit. This is National Detroit Weekly with Michael Van Tool and Harold Sullivan. It is news, information, commentary, and political commentary right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. National Detroit is your connection to national and world affairs from the Motor City. Harold Sullivan, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Michael. Glad to be here on this evening, enjoying this wonderful Michigan October.
Yeah, and isn't it nice? I think we got up to about 80-something over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And today, it's kind of dropping back to normal, but it's still great. It was still an excellent day. It's still a warm day today, too.
Well, all things considered, you know, we've been very, very fortunate, and we've not had a cold snap yet. We've not had to turn on the air conditioning either, so I'm loving that.
Yes. And so once again, we're glad you're here with us on National Detroit Weekly. And today, of course, tonight, within 2 hours, less than 3 hours, we're looking at the final debate between former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump for President of the United States. And this is going to, what they call it, a barn burner tonight. But you know what? The pressure is on Donald Trump to have a better showing and to have a knockout punch because he is so far behind in the polls right now. Hillary Clinton is starting to focus on red states or states that normally are Republican. And she's so emboldened by her double-digit lead across the country in many states that she's predicted to even get a landslide. It's so lopsided right now.
And the reason why you can tell that the juggernaut is really on its way. Here we are exactly 3 weeks out as of today, and the juggernaut is rolling to the extent that the Clinton campaign is now embracing some of the Senate races and congressional races that are going to be on some of the state ballots throughout the nation. So that's an air of comfortability right there.
Yes.
When a presidential candidate feels so assured that they can do that and not really affect or adversely affect their effort going forward. And now tonight is going to be pivotal in as much as, you know, she's got to perform.
Yeah, she's got to. She's got to be smart. She's got to outsmart him. She can't go in the mud with him. He's desperate. It's like a snake that's backed into a corner. It's going to come out swinging. And that's exactly, Donald Trump is desperate. He's in a bad situation. He's got to come out with a win. There's so much that he can use against Hillary Clinton now with this WikiLeaks daily dump of stolen emails. But you know what, Harold, I think from around the country, I think most Americans are, number one, they're very upset that these emails have been stolen. People don't realize how serious this is right now. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of this hot campaign, but this is very serious. These leaks of stolen emails and they have very good evidence that the Russians are behind it and that the Trump campaign has been some of the information has been shared with the Trump campaign already, but this is a situation now for Donald Trump. He's got to do something drastic, and I think he's going to be on the attack. We're going to talk about it a little bit more this evening, and we cannot wait to sit back and watch this race. I want to thank Pascoe Tashman and Walker, that's our law firm, for bringing National Detroit Weekly to you. Pascoe Tashman and Walker is a full-service national law firm committed to providing the best possible legal services to meet your specific needs. They represent individuals in Michigan and throughout the United States. They're members of the Michigan and American Association of Justice. They have attorneys that have been honored by the city, by the county of Wayne and the state. And community. Discovery Tours and Cruises, specializing in group travel, cruises to the Caribbean, day trips, Cuba, Costa Rica, Dubai, Jamaica, connecting worlds through travel. Discovery Tours and Cruises. The number is 248-678-4267. Again, the number is 248-678-4267.
Okay, Michael. Again, we are a couple of hours away from the beginning of the final debate between the presidential candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So it's going to be a powerhouse tonight because both of these individuals are going to come out literally swinging and doing their best to delve into that small pool still of undecided voters. It's hard to believe that they're undecided voters at this point in time, but there is a reality to that. Had an opportunity to talk to some people just a couple of days ago, and they were sharing with me that now that we're 3 weeks out, we are switching into another dynamic of the campaign. What begins to happen at this point, Michael, is now the unions and all of the surrogate organizations delve in and take a bigger slice of the pie. What I'm talking about, particularly with the unions, what they'll do is they'll be active in the GOTV, which is the Get Out the Vote. They'll be mobilizing, literally, with bands, rides to and from the polls for those individuals that don't have a way to the polls. This is an effort, of course, to turn out the maximum number of individuals who vote for your candidate. Now, as you canvass and you do these calls from the phone banks at the union headquarters and all of the various organizations that are donating their services via phone bank, you cannot go partisan, but, you know, you have access to a number of lists that are friendly knit lists that you can use to target those individuals who are most likely to be voting for your candidate. In so doing, they mobilize that effort to get the people to commit to being picked up at certain times. And again, we're 3 weeks out. Also, too, keep in mind, early voting is now into play. Individuals can actually go to their Secretary of State, or they can go to their election official and actually take care of their voting right then and right there. As a matter of fact, I would recommend that there are individuals who are out there that are looking to vote and think that, you know, our early voting situation is going to be best for you, particularly if you think you're going to be working that day, if you have to take time off, or if you are going to be involved in the campaigning or in any of the get out the vote activities. Now would be a great time to go to your particular election official and do the early voting. I saw the Detroit clerk on television just this morning talking about the same thing. So we've got to exercise every opportunity for individuals to get out there and to get to the polls, somehow or another get their vote into the cycle. And by the time that November the 8th rolls around, you can comfortably sit back, watch the election results, and see how this thing is going to shake out.
Okay. You know, today is the beginning of, I guess, the end of this, you know, election cycle for presidency. And you brought something up, Harold, before we went live about how much damage this campaign, primarily because of Donald Trump, is causing, and what are we going to need to do? What do we need to do to repair the damage from the carnage caused by this campaign?
This particular election cycle, in my 62 years here on this earth, it's probably been the most damaging to the nation in terms of reconciliation and goodwill that I've ever seen. The damage of reconciliation, the damage of goodwill. People do not have that feeling. As you go about your business on a day-to-day basis, you see that people are not apt to kind of want to take a look at you in the face. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You say hello to someone, they may look down or grunt or, you know, kind of, yeah.
But I also notice that it seems like people want to say something. You know, I think they want to comment on the race.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say something.
But people don't know how to,
but they don't
how
know,
to approach the subject.
Right.
They don't
right.
they don't know how to enter into the subject. And one of the things that I do is, you know, I just try to let people understand that I understand that voting is about what works for you, what is in your best interest. If it turns out that my opposition, for, you know, for whatever purpose, my opposition this time around would be Donald Trump, if that's whom you're voting for, I'm not going to just lay out the racial component in terms of us having dialogue, but, you know, understand that I understand if this is the candidate that is providing for you the most plausible and palatable possible outcome, outcome, then you have to, that's an alliteration, I guess. But anyway, you have to, at the very best, understand where it is these individuals are coming from. Now, that, you know, bearing that in mind, there are individuals out there who also don't mind telling you that my particular viewpoint has more to do with race than anything else. And from a supremacist standpoint, I think this is the candidate that is going to help me reunite with the old theme of make America great again. So there's that's another question. What do you mean by making America great again? Well, making America great again may be great for you, but making America great in your estimation may not be great for everyone else.
Right.
It's definitely not going to be great for me. What I think people want to embrace, and particularly when I say people, I'm talking about in this particular instance, white people, they want to embrace what they consider to be a time of Leave It to Beaver and the Cleaver family, a suburban reality of individuals living in well-manicured homes, you know, 2.5 children, the dog, two new cars in the driveway. You know, the father works. Father makes enough money by himself to cover the entire family. Mother doesn't have to work. And their opportunities are vast. Healthcare. They have excellent public schools. The private school situation didn't really come into play until quite some time down the road, Michael, when people felt as though the communities in which they lived were they sufficed in terms of providing very good schooling for their children, safe, great education, opportunities to go from the public school sector into the private colleges or into the university systems throughout the world. They had a sense of safe harbor in the communities in which they lived. On the other hand, dating back to those times, those Leave It to Beaver times. Well, for us, when I say us, I'm looking back at my family, my mom and dad. My mother worked every day.
Mm-hmm.
My father also worked. My sister and I, we thought we were doing pretty well. But mom and dad were really, really putting their shoulder to the wheel to the extent of making our family unit one that was at least passable in terms of our finance, in terms of the schooling, in terms of the safety of our neighborhood, things of that sort, and then also having to deal with the ravages of abject racism that has been going on since day number one. So individuals are asking themselves, look, you're talking about making America great again when America was so-called, and I'm putting in my air quotes here, great for you, it definitely wasn't necessarily great for me.
No.
So we have to come to some level of understanding. Like I said earlier, you know, I understand when people make their pronouncement with respect to their leaning politically, but you have to understand my situation and my dilemma also. I don't want to go back to what you think was such a great time.
Right.
Because it definitely wasn't a great time for me.
Right.
It wasn't a great time for my mom and dad.
Right. Going back to 1973 was not good for us. Going back to 1954 was not good for us. Going back to 1945 was, none of that was good for us. Things have gradually been getting better for African Americans over the years. So we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back. So we don't want to go backwards. And right now, going that route with Donald Trump, going backwards. There's some sign, you know, we talk about a landslide, possible landslide, that we're looking at the electoral map or electoral votes that Hillary Clinton could actually easily hit over 300 electoral votes.
I think that would be unprecedented.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to listen to the Trumpsters, and I just want to hear them. I just want to, let's see who's doing all the talking on November 9th.
Frankly, in my heart of hearts, I think that Donald Trump has come to an understanding that it's going to be very, 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 very difficult for him to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm not saying that it's a foregone conclusion for Hillary Clinton, but I'm thinking that it is a very good possibility that she will win, and win by a very hefty thumb.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at what they need to do tonight. And I do, there's a couple other things I want to touch on. We talked about banking last week and some of the issues. I noticed Comerica announced a number of branch closings today. And there's some other things going on around the world, including a final push to destroy ISIS in the Middle East and in Iraq. But I wanted to get your take, Harold, on what Hillary Clinton needs to do to come out of tonight's debate with a win, to come out as a winner, to come out without being damaged in any way. What does she need to do?
I think that in the last debate, after a clear win in debate number one, and with the format being a town hall format, I will say that Trump won the debate, but I will also say that he lost it. Hillary Clinton, for whatever reason, did not seize upon the varying opportunities that were there for her to pummel Trump on some of his decision making. Since that time, of course, we've had the grab him by the situation.
Uh-huh.
And while I don't think anybody is going to be so crass as to say that during the course of the debate, there's going to be, I'm sure, some referencing for it. But what Hillary Clinton needs to do is to make sure that she doesn't get drawn in to the Trump attack.
Yeah, because he's, like we said, at the top of the hour, he's going to come out swinging and desperate.
And another thing is, since this is going to be a moderated debate, it's going to be more of the debate protocol. Standard debate protocol is going to be taking effect.
And Chris Wallace is a veteran news anchor.
Who represents one of the most conservative media agencies in the world, that being Fox News.
But he's professional, though.
We'll give him that.
And he wants to maintain his reputation after tonight's debate.
And that's what it's all about
at
the end of the day.
So I think if he does survive this, it's still not going to help him.
Well, let me just say some of the things that I think Donald Trump needs to do.
Yeah.
Because in order for Trump to win tonight's debate, he is going to have to be very, very up on world affairs. And I understand that his debate team has been grilling him on that very subject matter. And if he is capable of coming across as informed and intelligent, but non-bombastic, he may be able to find himself in a pretty good position by night's end. But I don't trust Trump to be non-bombastic. It's just who he is. We'll see, of course, by the time 10:30, 10:40 in the evening rolls around, how that shakes out. But I'm looking for Senator Clinton to be able to come through this because, you know, if she does nothing more than just rope-a-dope, she very well could come away handily with a win.
Yeah, I think that's all she's got to do. All she's got to do is stick with the facts, answer, be ready to answer the tough questions. Because remember, Harold, most of the stuff that is coming out with WikiLeaks and other leaks are not her saying or doing anything. It's other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be, and the fact that she has not been convicted or indicted or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, and when she finishes answering a question, she's just got to get right back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
That none of these things have anything to do with her being a criminal or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if she answers the question and reminds them that she has, that none of that stuff is, she's been through hearings, she's been through questioning, and just stick with that.
And she has the stamina.
Yeah, and throw a couple of things that Donald Trump's not prepared for. Just throw some. You need to throw, the Clintons got some stuff on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so throw a couple of those, like the Miss Universe thing the other day,
mm-hmm.
In the last debate. Throw a couple of those in there and shake him off his ground, make him a little unsteady.
I think that the Donald may not be able to comport himself.
I don't think so. Not tonight.
Here's what I see.
As you know, he's going to fall apart.
As you know, he's supposed to be bringing in some people to sit on his side of the aisle.
Like who?
the POTUS half-brother who's been thrown in from Kenya. Now, let me tell you what this reminds
Donald,
me of.
I mean, President Obama's half-brother is
here from Kenya.
As a guest of Donald Trump.
As a guest of Donald Trump. Now, he's supporting Donald Trump. What this reminds me of, Michael, and you remember the movie The Godfather.
Yeah.
Probably you and I both have seen this movie countless times.
Yes.
Remember during the Senate hearings when Michael Corleone was being brought up on charges of running the corrupt crime family known as the Corleone family.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know Frankie Pantangeli, who was one of the confidants of the original Don, which was played by, I've forgotten his name now. Marlon Brando.
I don't see how you can remember all these character names anyway.
Marlon Brando, who was the original Don. Frankie Pantangeli was one of his confidants. All right. When he died, the Corleone family kind of split apart. As a result, Frankie Pantangeli, because he wanted to use the muscle, as he said, on the enemy of the Corleone family, and he wasn't given the green light to do so, he went rogue. So anyway, the Fed convinced Pantangeli turn state's evidence on the Corleone family. But Michael, ever the man who has the chess moves that are not one move ahead, two moves ahead, but perhaps three ahead, sent for Pantangeli's brother to come from Sicily. And as you recall, Michael, Pantangeli's brother just sat there in the hearing as a witness, not as a sworn witness, but just viewing the proceedings. And when Pantangeli saw that, and they asked him what was his relationship with the crime family, he went soft. He was, I remember now. We didn't do anything. I never heard the Don say, push buttons on people. I never heard any talk about, killing anybody or anything like that. That's what this is right now. Okay. Uh-huh. So Pantangeli's brother, although he couldn't say anything in the hearing, the same thing is going to be true for Obama's half-brother. Obama's half-brother can't vote. Obama is not running. That's
right,
more important element right there.
That is so strange. Yes, right.
So why would you want to waste time on bringing people to sit up at the debate just to be there as a figurehead and not add anything plausible to your side?
What is that? What is the intention of Donald Trump to do this?
The only thing is, your brother, Mr. Obama, is here fighting with me.
And
that's a convoluted type of a plan,
there.
And it played out. It's going to backfire, I think.
Yes, what a brain to think of something that something like that would.
What a stretch.
Yes, and same thing of dragging Bill Clinton's personal life into this, to almost blame it. And for women, I think that's doing a lot of damage to his relationship with potential female voters.
Mm-hmm.
To basically blame Hillary Clinton for Bill Clinton's exploit.
Right.
Back in the 90s.
But again, Bill Clinton's not running for president either.
That's right.
Bearing that in mind, you've got to come up with some things that are going. Okay, for instance, if you were to go out, let's say we just did a random search of individuals and took our National Detroit microphones outside of the studios where we are right now. Well, let's just say we asked 10 people, can you tell us what perhaps are two of Donald Trump's key campaign planks, things that you can think of that Donald Trump, specifics, not making America great again, not building a wall, but specifically, particularly as it relates to the economy, education, and things of that sort, what are two of his specific planks? The same is true with Hillary Clinton. One of the things that I don't like that she's done in the last two debates is make reference to her website. I think that's a weak position for a politician to take during the course of a debate.
Remember when Freeman Hendricks did it?
Oh, yeah.
And he said...
And he was ripped a new one.
Yes, he said, if you want to know more about my plan, go to my website. But, the thing about that was, not only did it not let you know what his plan was face-to-face, but it also made it a very big challenge for people to get to his website because it wasn't that easy, and a lot of his constituents did not have access to a website.
What are we talking about now, 15, 16 years ago?
Yeah, and you know there was less Wi-Fi, less connectability, less access even 15 years ago,
exactly.
More than it is now, mm-hmm. So, I think she could have done that. But I do put most of the blame on Donald Trump for his focus on frivolous issues. But you know what? She has found that and she's taken advantage of it too, that if we stick to frivolous issues, then she doesn't, it drives her numbers up because he gets all twisted up in his mess, and unfortunately, guess who loses? We do, as the American voter, because we have no information. We don't have enough information. We don't know what Donald Trump's plans are for national security and to fight ISIS and to protect our interests around the world. We don't know what Donald Trump's ideas are on school tuition and costs. We don't know his ideas on health care, except for let's get rid of Obamacare. But that's not a plan. You know, what I got tired of this year, and I'll be so glad when November 8th gets here, is that I got tired, and I am tired now, of hearing Donald Trump complain about issues but not have an answer as to what he would do about it. That's a major issue right now, and voters don't have enough information. It's unfortunate that we've been mired and buried in a lot of the frivolous stuff, but that's Donald Trump's fault, and I believe it will be his undoing on Election Day. So basically, Harold, I think we'll find out. This is going to be very interesting tonight, and here's my prediction before we move on to another topic. My prediction is that Donald Trump will come out fighting. Hillary Clinton is going to be professional, defend herself, and she's going to but eventually Donald Trump will lose it tonight because he knows he's very desperate. It's a desperate situation. If he realizes that he's not making any ground tonight, then he's going to lose it, and he's going to become incoherent, angry. He's going to get into that breathing issue that he has, mm-hmm. with that nervous tic that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, because the last question, and I was looking it up, the last question is about fitness to be president. There, here are the facts. It will begin at 9 tonight, hosted by Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace. It's going to be divided into 6 segments of 15 minutes each. The topics will be debt and entitlement, immigration, the economy, Supreme Court, foreign hotspots, and fitness to be president. You know what's going to be very interesting? The foreign hotspots, because Donald Trump has no clue.
That's where he's been shored up this past week with respect to what I heard earlier today by his crack team, his A team. So I don't know how much he's been able to retain, but we'll find out later tonight.
Sure. I still, if you notice, since the Miss Piggy comment on the last campaign, mm-hmm. Kellyanne Conway, his campaign chairperson,
mm-hmm.
has not made too many comments.
Right.
I think, and especially after the Billy Bush bus ride, you know, and by the way, he walked away with their thing somewhere around $9 million
from the
leave NBC. Yes.
And he was only there long enough to have, what, a cup of coffee?
Yeah, I saw the first day a couple months ago. It was his first day. I was watching the Today Show,
mm-hmm.
and now he made all of his money. He didn't have to work the 3 years to get it. It was a 3-year contract, $10 million.
Okay.
And he also can go get another job tomorrow.
No conflict of interest.
None at all.
Okay.
So isn't that something?
It's sweet. And he's a Bush, so he's going to come out smelling like a rose. He'll get the remainder of his $10 million salary.
Yep.
And he'll be able to find another job because there's not a no-compete clause going hanging over his head. So Billy Bush will be just fine.
Yes.
Billy Bush will be fine.
My final comment about the debate tonight, Harold, is that I believe that Donald Trump will become unhinged at some point tonight,
mm-hmm.
and it will be because Hillary Clinton is going to say something. She's going to make a couple of comments to him that will throw him off track, and I think there's a reason why she took about 4 days off lately. I do believe that it was a rest. She needed the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's at 100%, you know, but I don't think she's...
I think her last actual physical campaign stop was here in Michigan.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't think it's anything serious. I just think that...
After a year and a half of this grind...
Yeah, it's a grind. And what she's had to put up with him, with Donald Trump, that mm-hmm. would make anybody tired. So I think she was tired. But I think she's also going to be very prepared with detail on her policy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to be the difference tonight. She's going to come out with policy. And if she just says, you know what, let me get to policies first. If you want me to respond to some of the petty negative stuff that you're discussing, give me a minute. But let me say what my plans are about immigration or the Supreme Court. For debt and entitlement. Let me do that first, and then I'll come back. And,
that's an excellent
you
point,
know?
Mike.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point. I don't know if you are a debate preparer person or
no, not necessarily.
I think that what you just brought up here is something that desperately needs to be done on her part. That you know, the actual kind of footing that she needs.
Yeah.
Early in the game to come out blasting and really doing damage.
Wouldn't that be something? If he brings up something like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about Bill Clinton and doing this and these women? But you know, the topic is supposed to be on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me answer immigration first, and then I'll come back and make a comment about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And then she makes her comment about immigration, comes back, says something about immigration, and then throws him a zinger at the end of that. You know,
he'll be forced to really direct the answer to. The question
and he's got to be as complex as her. He's got to be able to answer the question
mm-hmm.
and deal with the drama that he threw in there. And he's not going to be able to keep that up. I'm telling you, he's not that smart. And so that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be Donald Trump, and I don't think it's going to be enough. She's a seasoned, intelligent debater. She's wise. She's smarter than him. And if she just sticks to a coherent response to the thing, don't ignore what he says because then it's going to be unanswered. But if she sticks with that, she's got it. She's got it, and he's going to really fall flat on his face. And just can you imagine what will happen tomorrow if he makes a fool of himself tonight?
I think
it's all lights out.
What's going to happen is if he does that, the mobilization effort benefiting Hillary Clinton is going to be off the rails.
Oh, it's going to take off crazy.
The mobilization effort
yep.
is going to, you know, be technically off the rails in terms of the unions, in terms of the special interest groups,
yeah.
in terms of the local grassroots organizations. They're going to get out. They're going to start beating the path
yeah.
and knocking doors, continuing to make the call, and mobilizing that get-out-the-vote effort, which is so important.
Yes.
There has been an upsurge in new Republican registrations for those individuals to vote. And from what I understand, some of that upsurge comes from the demographic group of the millennials who are now identifying, well, not all millennials, of course, identify as Republicans, but those who are registering here as of late seem to be of that particular political persuasion.
Mm.
So that would be interesting to find out that if people get lazy on the Democratic side, which they have in the past, and don't go out to do what they need to do, it's going to be a much more interesting race and probably not a very comfortable evening for Hillary Clinton on November the 8th. So, you know, to say that you know, a landslide in the offing, a possible score of 300 in the Electoral College situation in terms of that count coming down, you know, that's all well and good. But like they say in sports, that's why they play the game.
That's right. That's
that's
right.
That's why they play the game.
That's right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up with a few other topics. I noticed that, you know, we talked about Wells Fargo last week. This time, Comerica Bank is in the news, and we want to talk about that a little bit. And then, Harold, you've got some other things to talk about. We'll take a break and come right back. You're listening to National Detroit Weekly online. Internet radio program with blogger Harold Sullivan. My name is Michael Van Tool. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And we appreciate that you're being here. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you can search for National Detroit Weekly. We're part of the Speak On It radio series. And or you can go to our Facebook pages. You can go to my Facebook page, Michael Van Tool, and Harold. We can go to your Facebook page?
Yes, absolutely. Harold Sullivan.
And okay.
That'll get you there. That'll do it.
Great.
You might see a couple of them drop down, but, you know, you can look for Harold Sullivan, Detroit area, and, you know, it'll come right up.
And my last name is V-A-N TULL. So Michael Van Tull, and just look it up. And you can listen to all the programs that we've done this past year on National Detroit Weekly. At Ocean Financial Services, you can get operating capital, a line of credit or cash flow for your business. We can also make referrals to you if you're looking for credit advisors, if you need a bank, if you need an investment advisor, if you need to buy a car, you need an insurance agency, if you need a realtor or residential lender or commercial loan provider, you can get it through Ocean Financial Services. Call Ocean Financial Services today. The number is 248-516-8300. Also, Ocean Financial Services is a broker for office building in Southfield. If you need a desk, if you need an office, if you need a half of a floor, you can call Ocean Financial Services. And, you know, starting at like $200 a month, you can have your own desk, free Wi-Fi, kitchenette, conference room. You can have it all, just $200 a month. Call Ocean Financial Services at 248-516-8300. The Diamonds Inspiring Virtue and Success. We talked about it at the top of the hour. Divas Empowerment Conference is here in Detroit on November 5th and 6th at the DoubleTree Hotel, Detroit, Dearborn. Divas, D-I-V-A-S, Diamonds Inspiring Virtue and Success, is an organization that was built on love. It is comprised of women from all walks of life that have come together to empower, embrace, encourage, educate, entrepreneurship, uplift, restore, and ignite the fire back into the women of God. Divas Empowerment Weekend Conference is built just for the women to come together, let your hair down, and relax away from the loves of our lives, whether it's our spouse, children, career, pet, etc. As women endure so much, take so much, hold in so much, and don't express, show, always know how to let go, where to turn, or who to turn to. Well, this weekend was built just for women to understand that you are not alone. The goal is that you may come in weighed down, but you will leave out light as a feather and strong as an ox. The weekend package includes your entry tickets, workshops, materials, T-shirts, breakfast on Sunday, and discounted room rates. There's a whole session on Saturday also, so it's Saturday and Sunday at the Detroit DoubleTree Hotel in Dearborn, Detroit. It's at 5801 Southfield Road. Here's the phone number for tickets and more information for the Divas Empowerment Conference on November 5th and 6th. The number is 248-595-2372. And so we're looking forward to that. Again, thanks to the law offices of Pascal, Hashman, and Walker. If you need an attorney, here's the number, 248-353-7750.
Michael's a true professional. I just threw him a curve. And he didn't swing.
We're online at the same time, so we're kind of looking at different stories and things that
searching the internet.
Yeah, searching the
doing
internet.
What we do. Yeah. Even if we weren't on the program, some of the same things we normally do.
Yeah. Look, Comerica is cutting 790 jobs across the country, and 40 branches of its 476 branch nationwide branch network. I thought they had more branches than that, though. The cuts will happen over the coming year, a part of a plan that would consolidate 40 of its 476 bank branches nationwide. The changes aim to trim expenses by $110 million in 2017, increasing to $160 million by the end of 2018. Comerica had 8,792 full-time employees as of June 2016. They have 5,000. Of that 8,000, 5,000 are full-time in Michigan. So they still have a big presence in Michigan.
So what you're saying then is those $35 NSF fees
that people are paying, and more of them are paying than you actually know, it's still not enough.
I guess it's not enough
to clear profit margin.
Well, look, the cuts come amid stockholder dissatisfaction after poor first quarter earnings reported early this year, when the earnings fell from $132 million to only $59 million in a year. That is a drastic drop. No wonder. That's a scary drop.
What brought that about?
I don't know. I don't know what caused that drop in earnings. And I'm trying to look now to see if there was any reasons that they, could explain that drop. That's a lot of money. But that will affect quite a few branches in Michigan.
Not being an expert on the subject matter, but just kind of giving you a layman understanding, I think people are going more with the credit union, and they're finding that there's a more of a, accommodating atmosphere with credit unions and their money. People don't like having to pay exorbitant amounts of money to have access to their own money. There are very few things that you can do in a bank now without incurring some level of fee. If your bank account does not yield a certain balance every month, then there's a service charge that you have to pay. Again, we're talking about the NSF fees, and I guess even the best of us has had to deal with that at some point in time, even if it's only once or twice a year. That's $7-$8 a year that of your money that's going towards non-sufficient fund fees. But people are tiring of that, and they're looking for options, I think. And the options at the credit unions are probably a lot more palatable than the ones that they're dealing with at their bank. And let me also say this. USAA is another entity that's really gaining a lot of popularity and profitability because people can bank there. They're not going to be hit with all of the varying degrees of fees that you would from a traditional bank. And the services that they offer are numerous, from auto insurance to home loans, mortgages, to college funds, varying degrees of account development in terms of tracking money in your account. And banks are beginning to do that now, but if you do that with a bank, the likelihood is you're going to pay an additional fee.
I can see here that the spokeswoman for Comerica said that the consolidations reflect our customers' migration to a broader use of digital channels and are part of our plans to consolidate 38 banking centers nationwide. Apparently, there were some overlaps where there was more branches in an area than they really could sustain. So that means that there's the use of those had fallen, of those branches. But digital means that customers are using more technology. They're just being very technical about it. That's what that means. But unfortunately, 16 branches in Michigan were closed. 16 branches.
Now, the word is that they're going to be offering employment opportunities for those individuals, but to the degree of where their earning potential is right now, I don't think much has been said about that.
No, it hasn't. No, there's no comment here about the loss of those employees on those consolidated branches. But it says that in July that they plan to cut 9% of the workforce nationwide, and it includes Michigan. Yeah.
I remember when Comerica Bank, when I was a child, used to be called Bank of the Commonwealth. And my dad opened up an account for my sister and I at one of their branches that was located down on Livernois, very close to McNichols Road. And he started us off with about $25 each, my sister and I both.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to give you the little passport. I know you're a banker, Mike, so you probably don't remember physically seemed a little thankful. Sort of.
I did. I had my parents used to take me to the bank when I was little,
mm-hmm.
and I remember the book, and I remember it getting stamped,
mm-hmm.
and with the date stamped and everything, got my balance, and they gave me my book back,
mm-hmm.
and my mother would pack my book away and all that. So yes, those days are gone, but I remember. I'm old enough to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Those days too, yeah.
So by the time I went off to college down in Atlanta, Georgia, the electronic banking was just beginning to take foothold. And I banked with CSS, Citizens and Southern Bank in Atlanta, Georgia. And what happened was when they offered me a card, that was revolutionary. You know, I can get money anytime, even on Sunday. I don't have to wait for traditional banking hours to come back here and do my banking. No, you can use the card. We're talking about the early 70s, 73, 74.
That was like the cell phone. That was like inventing fire. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like the wheel, fire, cell phone,
mm-hmm.
ATM machines. Those, I would rank those right up in the top five.
Yeah.
You know, the wheel and fire,
mm-hmm.
and then ATM machine and cell phone.
Exactly.
Right up there.
You're right there.
Yeah.
You're right there in terms
yeah.
of the significance. My God, the time is going.
Yes.
So quick.
Harold, all I want to say now, I just want to thank our listeners. And I got to tell you, we do want you to call in next time. Those of you who are listening right now, I would like you to call in next time and talk to us. Here's the number to call in. It's 657-383-0565. Write that down. And every time, Harold, I keep saying that I'm going to make sure and put it on Facebook, and the weeks go by so fast. Next thing I know,
yeah,
Wednesday is here.
Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So keep this number, 657-383-0565. That's our guest call-in number here on National Detroit Weekly. I want to thank you for sitting in and listening to it. Harold, they may do like you and I have both done. I listened to the show, you know, I listened to it again. I listened to it to see, you know, what I missed and,
mm-hmm.
you know, what mistakes I made talking and stuff like that.
Self-critique, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know you caught, you tuned into one of the programs this week too.
Yep.
And really? I would advise you, you know, listen to it. If you're up at night, if you're in the car, riding around, you know, you listen to Satellite, you listen to all those other, listen to National Detroit Weekly, listen to our tape from right here in the Motor City. But we thank you for listening. Tonight is the big debate, the last one. We're talking about it now. Harold, I wonder, what are some of the things that we said tonight that will come true? We'll discuss it on the next show.
Absolutely.
Because this is the after effects of this debate tonight could really determine what America is going to be like. Just like the election, this is going to have the biggest impact on November 8th than anything else. Tonight's debate is going to have that big of an impact on November 8th.
And on November 9th, if indeed Hillary Clinton emerges as president-elect, where do we go from there? How does the country heal? Because it's been ravaged by division, rancor, and indecisiveness, and a great deal of hatred.
And, you know, it's been said that Donald Trump is going to try to be the leader of a movement if he loses. That's what this is all about, that he may start his own Trump network or political party after this is all over with, some sort of big news and entertainment empire, to overtake Fox News. But one thing, you know, to answer your question, number one, one of the things that's going to have to happen after November 8th is a new Republican Party. That's for sure. A new Republican Party is going to have to be created to replace, because what it is now is destroyed. It's a Trump party right now.
This party is imploding. I mean, between radical Tea Party and the
Donald Trump lunatic friend. The Republican Party is a mere shell of what it used to be. I look back on the Republican Party now, and I say to myself, wow, although I've never actually been a registered Republican, I have on occasion voted for Republicans from time to time. But in terms of looking at the party as a viable option for change, no way. And particularly, I'm speaking to black folk right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to create a party of our own that's going to be all-inclusive. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be closed off to non-black, but we've got to have a party in black folk in mind going forward so that we'll be able to create some leverage. If you can create political leverage, Michael, you're also going to be able to create some economic leverage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, my thanks to all of our supporters. I just want to let you know that anytime I need to buy a suit or socks or ties or shirts or get any alterations, I go to Hot Sam's downtown Detroit, open since 1921. That's where I go to get all of my menswear at Hot Sam's Men's Clothier. Open since 1921. They take care of me. They do all my alterations. That's where I get all of my accessories, cufflinks, ties, shirts at Hot Sam's. Thanks so much to Hot Sam's for taking care of me. Harold, this has been great tonight. I'm looking forward. The debate is coming up in less than 2 hours.
I'll be watching.
Yes. Good night. Thank you. We'll see you next week right here on National Detroit Weekly with Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Tool. Thank you so much for joining us. My thanks to Discovery Tours and Cruises, 248-678-4267. Thanks to American Standard Roofing, Michigan's number one roofer, 248-350-2323. God bless you all. Thank you for listening tonight.